We are going to get started here, so we'll have this word of prayer and see what we can do. All right, very good. Luke? No, just kidding.
Brother Daniel, would you open the word of prayer, please?
Father, Lord, I thank you for your opportunity.
Thank you, Lord, again for this day.
To open up your word,
chance
Lord,
to be here. Thank you, Lord, for those here, taking the time.
Minds, that we might
I just pray, Lord, that all of us will focus on lessons
thank
at
you,
hand.
Lord, for your spirit that you've
your word
given,
to touch our hearts, teach us and show realize us. Where we stand with you.
Ask, Lord, that we might Lord. Not just take
we're so thankful for what Jesus did at Calvary and look forward to his return. I pray even today, Lord,
that it might be profitable.
Take us home to you forever.
As you might remember, the
prayer for the brethren in
New Testament churches throughout the state and beyond,
each of the birds
to help strengthen them.
Again, Lord, thank
you for
Jesus Christ.
In
this name I pray.
Amen. Might be able to present your message.
All right, so I handed out this Baptist Way book, right? Everybody has one, right? Brother Jacob, you have one of these?
I do.
Okay. Courtesy Springfield Missionary Baptist Church. Probably been in the pulpit for over 20 years. They never get handed out. How long have you been a member, Brother Nathan? Yeah, so he didn't have one. So he has one now, right?
Yeah.
All right. These are not inspired. Brother Crabtree and Brother Doug can tell you more about Brother Bogart, but this is a book that was put out. And again, there's some historical facts in here. There's some. Did you get one of these? Brother Alex, do you have one of these?
Sounding more and more like your dad every day.
These
little kids.
So take it.
Brother Jeremy, if you could please voice prayer.
Use it, okay? Here we go. So, Revelation chapter 2, if you would please. We do not have time to list all my mistakes from last night. We'll just address one or two of them. All right? I told this to Brother Daniel. I put in my notes. It says right here. Quick review. No such thing as quick review. All right? I was a fool to think that was going to happen. Number two. Brother BJ, if you're going to teach and if you're going to review something, you need to make sure that your class and audience has had it the first time. Otherwise, it's not a review. Couple mistakes right there, right? Because I just assumed the people got all this stuff from last year, and that was wrong. Wrong on my part. And then, because you're feeling the pressure and time, you start throwing stuff out at the very end, and I probably said some things that were a lot of things that were confusing. Not to maybe a couple of you, but I did confuse some folks. So here we go. Backing it back up here. By the way, this is the thing I handed out last night about apostolic fathers. Everybody have one of these? Anybody here not have one? This is what I handed out last night. If you didn't get one, here it is. Did you get one of these, brother?
I did, but I didn't.
Oh, hey, as a teacher, you need to know your audience. Jeremy? There we go. Alright, ready. I was trying to make a point, and I didn't do the best job here. In approximately 95-96 A.D., the Holy Spirit used John to write the inspired Word of God to the seven churches of Asia. Give me one, somebody give me a thumbs up. Somebody.
Yes. Hey,
there we go. Okay, seven. This is the inspired Word of God. We say epistle wrote the epistles or the letters. Okay? But it was an inspired letter, if you want to use that, okay, or epistle. And John was used to write this, these letters. Seven churches of Asia. Church at Smyrna. Church at Ephesus. Thyatira, thank you. Okay, are you with me, right? All right. In my rush, we were talking about Ignatius, or I was. All right? Ignatius is not an apostle. Did he know some of the apostles? Well, at least John, right? John was like a mentor to him. Okay? Ignatius, I don't know, Brother Nathan, I did look a little bit, not the hardest effort. I don't know how old he was. But, and I think we're going to read it here, okay? In 107 AD, he was sent on his death march. He was sent to be murdered, okay? And according to history facts, he was killed, slaughtered, executed in 108 AD. On this trip, has anybody read the book of Acts before? When Paul got arrested and he made his trip to Rome. What was that, 1 weekend? How long did that take? It took a bit. Ships, walking a land, it took a while. Well, I don't know if you guys understand this, but at night you're tired, you're set. Okay, assuming Ignatius had time on his hands, he was able to actually meet up with Polycarp. We'll talk about that. But he wrote some letters, and seven of them, here's that word again, often, somebody want to say that? Send a tape. It was credited to him. These letters he wrote to the church at Smyrna, he wrote to the church at Ephesus, I believe Magnesia is in Turkey, I did look it up one time. I think I have this right, Brother Doug. I could have misspelled this one. I believe this is in Western Turkey. Yeah, it could be switched. He also wrote one to Polycarp. Okay? They didn't have the United States postal system back then, but they had some way to get letters to folks. All right? These letters were not inspired. Don't confuse when I say he wrote the church at Ephesus, you know, this happened at least 10 years earlier. Everybody got that?
Yep.
But here's one. I know I'm going to get a little smirk here. Before emails, before talk-a-text, which I love, people used to get out pencil and paper or pen and write letters, put them in envelopes, the thing called a postage stamp, and put it in the mail and send it to grandma. Or to their loved ones, or whoever it was. It's actually been going on for quite some time. It's a pretty neat thing. All right? So, do not be surprised when you hear the brethren, there were other letters written during the Bible times. Paul himself. But I am not comparing these letters or any other letters that were written to the inspired Word of God. Okay? Everybody here crystal clear on that?
Yes.
All right, good. Now, let's go ahead and turn to Revelation chapter 2?
Yes.
All right, we're going to read this. And this was a suppose. I played a little bit with the dates. If Ignatius was pastor for 40 years, I had you back up. Had some guys do some quick math. If history's right, he started being the pastor in Antioch in the year
68
A.D. And I'm going to go out on a limb just a little bit. Oh, Brother Dale, you don't know this. I'm thinking he was probably a church member before he ever became a pastor. He might have seen some things. He might have been there when Paul gave the report of some of those missionary journeys. I don't know that for a fact. But I tell you what, he was in the middle of the church in the first century, in the second century going forth. Talk about living in good times? Wow. He was possibly and probably saw some of those spiritual gifts in working. He probably was seeing the uproar and hearing about the Roman army getting ready Titus Caesar to come in and wipe out Jerusalem. The mother church. Okay? Wipe out Jerusalem, where the first church had been assembling. I should have said that better. All right? Now, we're going to go to the Bible. And we're going to read this here, and this is a little point I made. Brother Alex, if you would, please, you can multitask, right?
Yeah.
How about just read 1 through 7? Here we go. This is God's word. Here we go.
Chapter 2.
Please.
Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how canst thou now bear them which are evil, and hast tried them which thou say that are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience for my name's sake, and hast labored and hast not fainted.
Okay, has the church at Ephesus been doing some good stuff?
Yep.
Okay. Now remember, I know this is the inspired word of God, but who is God using to write this letter? John. And remember, John is somewhat of a mentorship, whatever, to Ignatius. I'm just saying there's been some communication somehow. Go ahead.
So this is roughly about 30 years after Paul wrote to Ephesus, right? It's around that time.
Okay. Period. Everybody got that? We're not 100% sure. Okay. We do know that Paul did some work in Ephesus, right? Anybody know about that?
He started the church.
He was the one that did some scriptural baptism, and as a result, we have a church in Ephesus. So, Brother Alex, make one. This is down the road a little bit. But that's when compromise or mistakes sometimes start to happen, is down the road. So God's using the Apostle John to write to the church at Ephesus. Okay? All right. Continue reading.
Verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of the place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith on the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
All right. Now, this letter to the Ephesians has been referred to many times by different lessons, pastors preaching. And most of the time that I'm hearing, we jump to the point, unless they repent, this church is going to lose
candlestick.
Now, there's other things in this letter, but that is a pretty big deal, right? A church losing the candlestick. Okay? What I said last night is, I don't know this 100% sure, but the church at Ephesus was admonished to repent and make a couple of changes here or else. Agreed?
Mm-hmm.
And then, fast forward, that's cassette tape days, if you know what the cassette tape is. Fast forward to 107, 108, you know what a cassette tape is?
Yes.
Okay, 107, 108 AD, all right? Now we have Ignatius on his way to his death, and he ends up writing one of his letters to the church at Ephesus. Again, Jesus Christ will sit on the throne. Jesus Christ will do all the judging. Doesn't need me to help him here. But possibly and probably, if Ignatius has taken the time to write the church at Ephesus 10, 11 years down the road, there's a great chance that the church at Ephesus heeded to the admonition and did repent of their sins. There's a great chance the church at Ephesus did not lose their candlestick at this point. Does that help? Because I think I confused a little bit yesterday. Brother Jared, there's no hope for you. Anybody else? Brother Jared, go ahead.
Do any of the historians know kind of like what he was saying in the letter to the church at Ephesus? To kind of give an indication of what it was about? Or
I know that the letters are in this library. I'm hoping the church here at Springfield funds a trip for me to go over there. An interpreter, I would love. Some people want.
I'd be with you.
Some people want to go to Disneyland. I'd go there, and it'd be a chance to look at these letters. I just love them. I do not know what was written in these letters. Okay, people smarter than me can find it. I will maybe look for it sometime. But the bottom line is they have them. I do know Brother Cooper has shared with us, Brother Doug, help me with this here. Some of the things are so under so much protection by the Roman Catholic Church that only certain folks have access and are able to see some of their old writings, okay? And we do know that, especially when we start talking inspiration of scriptures and the old manuscripts and stuff like that.
Like the Textus Receptus and
like the Texas
library,
okay.
The library in England.
But anyway, Brother Roger, have you ever heard anything in the past about maybe what he wrote to the brethren? I don't know.
No.
I don't know. But I'm here to tell you, as we read some of the quotes later. Matter of fact, as we read some of the quotes later, and I handed Brother BJ out a page of this. Last year I did this. Wrong ones. Right here. I handed this out last year. If you didn't get a copy of it, this is about Ignatius. This is from Holiday and Fox's Book of Martyrs about his death. So if you didn't get one of these, I'll be glad to hand it out to you here, okay? Anybody? You got one of these. I handed them out to you. Anybody? Did you get one?
Probably did, but I'll pick another one.
All right. I'm not going to walk around and do this. Brother Christian, did you get one of these?
Yes.
Right. Here you go. You can make a copy. If you want one, you can have this, all right?
Yeah.
You got this?
I do.
Anybody else? No. Did you get one, brother? Did I give you one of these? Okay. Very good. All right. They're here if you need it.
Brother Dill?
Yes.
Translations of at least a couple of those are available online.
Say it again?
Translations of a couple of those are available online.
See, I told you there were people smarter than me. I know that wasn't in question. Brother Doug just found that, or he knew that already. All right? So maybe we can find those and read a couple. All right? I mentioned about Ignatius, right? So I am going to read from that. So you have that copy that I just offered right here. On the bottom, page 24. Okay. So actually, turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I think Brother Hawker made a reference to this. His admonition to the men that have been called to be pastors of one of the Lord's New Testament churches. I believe, and forgive me, Brother Nathan, I believe it was talking about someone was called to be an evangelist or something like that. And you make some, and that doesn't happen, okay, pastoring. So it says here in John chapter 10, Brother Jaron, would you read verses 11 and 12, please.
I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep.
All right, and we just read a couple of verses there. Of course, Christ talking about how he's the good shepherd. You know, and I heard it again last night. Did Jesus love the brethren, his church that he called out? Did he love his church?
Yes.
Yeah. He loved them. Remember, he loves his church today. He loved them so much that he gave his life for his church. Okay? Now, I am not comparing Ignatius saying he's just... But if he was a pastor of one of the Lord's New Testament churches for 40 years, I'm going to say he had a love for the brethren. Because I have heard more than one pastor in this work talk about the love for the church that they pastor. Okay? So here, according to Holiday here, I'm reading on Holiday, which is, I think, the top of that page that I handed out to you or just offered. I don't know if anybody wants this or not, but if you do, it's right here. It's right there. Okay? It says, it was the year 107. Ignatius, Bishop of Antioch, was martyred for the faith of Jesus. All right. Divine providence, however, preserved him for the benefit of the church during the persecution of Domitian. So he survived that. We talked about that last year. and reserved him to the time of Trajan. Trajan ruled in Rome from 98 to 117 AD. Okay? This prince being come to Antioch about the 10th year of his reign, in the year 107, on his way to the Parthenian War. Anybody ever heard of that before? Okay, the Parthenian War. Ignatius, fearing for the Christians and hoping to avert the storm by offering himself to suffer in their stead, came voluntarily into the presence of Trajan. Then Trajan pronounced his sentence against him. Since Ignatius confesses that he carries within himself him that was crucified, we command that he be carried by soldiers to great Rome, there to be thrown to the wild beast for the entertainment of the people. This is that entertainment I talked about last night, 80,000 people. Did you catch that? Ignatius volunteered himself, hoping to what? Protect the church, his flock. All right, then from Antioch, he was... Who else can read? Who has one of these papers? I don't need to read this. Brother, thank you. Brother Reagan, would you start reading from Antioch, please?
From Antioch, he was hurried by his guards to Seleucia. Sailing thence, after great fatigue, he arrived at Smyrna. While the ship remained in port, he was allowed the pleasure of visiting Polycarp, who was bishop of the Christians there. They had been fellow disciples of St. John, and the holy joy of their interview may be conceived by such persons as know what the love of Christ is, and how it operates in the breasts of those in whom he dwells. Deputies were sent from the various churches of Asia to attend the come and console him, and to receive some benefit by his spiritual communication. Bishops, presbyters, and deacons conversed with him. A general convocation seems to have taken place. Four of Ignatius's seven epistles were written, from Smyrna to the churches of Ephesus, Magnesia, Troas, and Rome. He was brought to Rome and presented to the prefect of the city. When he was led to execution, he was attended by a number of the brethren and was allowed to join in prayer with them. And he prayed to the Son of God in behalf of the churches, that he would put a stop to the persecution and continue the love of the brethren toward each other. He was then led into the amphitheater and speedily thrown to the wild beasts. He had here also his wish. The beasts were his grave. A few bones only were left, which the deacons gathered, carefully preserved, and afterwards buried at Antioch. The History of the Church of Christ by Joseph Milner, printed by A.M. Hogan and Tucker.
Okay. Read these things. Thank you for reading that. Read these things just to put the... And I appreciate, by the way, the papers that were turned in and I've read through, and I do appreciate some of the things that were mentioned about, remember, from last year. I don't expect you to remember all the details. I don't remember all the details. As a matter of fact, I confuse the details with other people. But the next time you're having a bad week, where things are so tough out in the world, I'm sorry. Our worst week ever doesn't compare to what some of these brethren went through. All right? And again, I am not a pastor of a church, and I would never... But I know there are some frustrating times. And I know there are some things that happen that just... But I tell you, this right here, these kind of things right here, this shows love for the church, love for his Lord. Love for his Lord. Again, Jesus Christ will hand out the rewards. But I believe this guy right here, maybe modeled his ministry even after the Apostle Paul, let alone John and some of the others. How was he able to do this? How was Stephen able to do what Stephen did? All right. He loved his God. All right. So, Ignatius, one of the guys we talked about last year. Quick review. We good? There's more in there. If you want to, I can show you the book. There's more stuff out there. I don't have it all. There's stuff out there that we can learn about these brethren, okay? Polycarp. Okay, a couple people wrote down Polycarp. Polycarp was another one of these apostolic fathers, okay? He was a contemporary of Ignatius, right? Does that make sense? Contemporary. According to Holiday, he was baptized by John. I don't know if that happened or not. That's written down in history. Okay. He becomes the pastor of the church at Smyrna. This Smyrna right here. He becomes the pastor of it. Okay. Brother Jacob.
He's the one that was rumored to be one of the kids that Jesus picked up.
No, that's Ignatius.
Thank you. It was brought up earlier. Ignatius, according to Mosheim, then that doesn't mean it happened. Was the Matthew chapter, I don't know why, sitting on Jesus' lap. I said last year, I don't know that happened. But we do know that there was a child sitting on Jesus' lap one time. That's what just amazes me right there. And he took the time and did some teaching, right? He had seen the gifts of the early church. He had heard about it from John, but he had seen it with his own eyes, okay? And he was murdered or executed by Marcus Aurelius, okay? In the book that Brother Doug got us all started on, I'll just read this on page 38, Brother Doug. I don't know if anybody else has this or not. All right. It says here at the very bottom, Polycarp is supposed to have been the pastor of Smyrna in the days of the Apostle John and was the various Christian patriarch. But in his epistle to the Philippians, which was long read in the churches of Asia. Everybody hear that? Okay, this is not the inspired, right? All right. But it was an epistle that was read to the churches. Polycarp draws great distinction between himself and the apostles. Does that make sense? He made it crystal clear he was not the apostle, one of the apostles. I am not one of the apostles. Okay? And he literally apologized for writing to a church that had received an epistle from Paul, an inspired epistle. All right. I think I started to read this last night. This great plague ravaged in the east in the reign of Marcus Aurelius, and the popular clamor demanded Polycarp as the atoning victim to the gods. And at the age of 90 years, he suffered martyrdom. A.D. 166-167. He retired to the country, but one of his servants betrayed him. He limped into the stadium, where the crowd cried for his blood. He was ordered to swear by the fortunes of Caesar and cry, "Away with the atheists." The proconsul offering him liberty if he would revile Christ. The answer of the simple-hearted old Baptist was, 86 years have I served him, and he never did me any wrong. How then can I blaspheme my King and my Savior? Okay? I read the rest of that last year, but there's some stuff in there. How do these guys do that? How did they do that? They had a great love for their Savior. And they knew, as we were being admonished, they understood what their Savior had done for them. So, well, it's because they were old. Well, they had too many good examples before them. Go ahead.
Well, I don't think we should. I think we're living in an age where very well could easily fall back into the same kind of world. So, yeah, we ought to learn how these people did it. Because we could very well face it.
Everybody hear that? Yeah, who knows what's going to happen?
And it's not impossible for us to stand in the same manner because it wasn't their strength. was Jesus Christ.
And I've been asking myself for a couple of years now, will I be faithful enough and true enough to my God, strong enough to do it? It's easy for me to say, oh yeah, I'll do it. But then when I see my family members chained, like we read last year, chained together and thrown into the river one after one. Are you going to be like the girl that, remember Belinda? Somebody mentioned her last night in the paper, who encouraged the others to stay true. I think she was 15 years old. Don't give in. Brother Jacob.
So one thing I've been thinking about, so I, over the summer, two of my children confessed salvation. So I'm thinking, and if you're one of these guys watching your family get chained up, you better be, you're going to be hoping you led your family the way they need to be led. So what if I haven't been the father that I need to be? And man, they have a testimony, but are they really safe?
Right.
That's going to start going through my head as they're getting chained up.
On the paper that I handed out, we're not going to get to today, but at the very bottom I put 251 AD. Did everybody see that? We'll go back. We'll do a quick. But 251 AD, do you remember when we talked about last year? This was the official split, right? There were, I loved it, some of the comments I read last night. In the church on the hill, some of those brethren might have seen their family members executed because they didn't have that certificate of idolatry. Remember that from last year? Brother BJ, if you carried around a certificate of idolatry and you said, no, I worship idols, even if you're a missionary Baptist, then you wouldn't be killed. Some of the brethren of the churches did not have that conviction, and they, well, when the official split took place in AD 251, could you imagine being in the church services and some brother come back saying, hey, I'm sorry, you know what, you're going, the proof was in your actions. The proof was in your actions. My family members, half of my family's dead because of the persecution. Now here comes all these others back here saying, oh, we're all good to go. The Lord knows. It is. That's where the rubber meets the road, right? The rubber meets the road. One last thing on Polycarp before we move on from him. And I didn't go to Holiday, but when he was having this discussion and he was talking about how Christ was within him and all that kind of stuff, he said, I think it's on that paper I just handed out, he goes, I'm a Christian, and if you desire to learn the Christian doctrine, assign me a day and I will declare it unto you. That's what he said to the guy, ready for this, that controlled whether he lived or not physically. He said, you want to learn about it, I'll be glad to share it with you right there. I don't know that he's being a smart aleck. I don't know that he was. And by the way, when we read the word Christian in the first century, in the second century, for the most part, it's a sure different definition of a Christian today in 2024. Remember that name Christian was the real deal. Okay? The real deal. All right? We also looked, oh, Brother Jacob, go ahead.
Where was that quote from that you just...
I think it's... I'm sorry. I have it right here. Page 26. I handed this copy out last year, too. Holiday, page 26, at the very bottom. I handed this page, and I have copies if you want it. All right. Polycarp replied, 80 and 6 years have I served Christ. He hath never wronged me. How can I blaspheme my King who hath saved me? I am a Christian. If you desire to learn the Christian doctrine, assign me a day, and I will declare to you. When Polycarp had finished his prayer, and then that's from the fire. That was right in the fire. He, you know, the fire went up, and the fire didn't kill him, and they had to go stick him with the... Anyway, it's Holidays. You know, these guys quote each other. They go get, they find the information. He just chose to write a little bit more. All right? It's in that book too, right, Brother Doug?
Yeah.
It's everywhere. I love it.
had that handout. You have your handout?
The Apologist. The other one. We read about the Apologists as well last year. These were men who wrote and explained Christianity to the heathen world, remember the pagans, right? And they wrote during the second century. Just says here, we didn't spend a lot of time, most of these writers dealt with sole authority of the scriptures. So what does that tell you? If they're writing about sole authority of scriptures, that means that other things were starting to slip in. Brother Doug.
Well, that's it. In Rome and other places, people were going by Christian, but they were already developing humanism and their own doctrine and their own ideas that they were having to stand against. And that's why in their writings, they're so distinct about sole authority of Scripture.
The reason why the Lord said, thou shalt not steal, because stealing was a problem. All right, and he saw that. And what Brother Doug just said, so... I think actually I actually have 4 minutes here. I thought I was done. It was already being addressed in the writings because people were starting at humanism. They were coming with their old ideas. We're going to get into the next thing about pastor rule, big churches, their own ideas. And they had a little bit of time to themselves to think and get stuck on themselves. And they started coming up with their own stuff. So what's going on today in the world is it's been going on for quite some time. But it was neat to see that at least some of the writings supported the truth of the scriptures, okay? And then we went to the early church fathers last year. We covered the early church fathers, all right? These are men who wrote during the second and third century. And during that time, during this time, three serious, see if you can find it in your trail of blood. Everybody try to find it, if you would, please. I tried to write out some cheat notes here. I'm in the first lecture. I'm on page number 9 is the first lecture. So I'm on page 15 in your trail of blood. It's either page 15, I think it is. Page 15 is the first period, AD to 30 to 500. Turn and find number 4. I hope everybody has this in their trail of blood. I hope you can find it. Make sure your neighbor has it, please. Make sure. Point to your neighbor here. All right? There were three serious errors that began to slip in, that was slipping into the New Testament churches. Brother BJ, were you able to find it?
I believe so.
All right. What are they? What was the first serious error? What does that mean, pastor rule? We'll read these later, but what it's right there in number 4. What does it mean, pastor rule?
Pastor decided what the church does.
Pastor was making decisions.
3 John, the attributes, love, they have the preeminence.
The attributes, the preeminence, right? Thank you. Thank you. I wonder why that was written in there. Because that was a problem. That was a problem. And on number 4 there, the second paragraph, it says, the great churches... These great churches necessarily had many preachers and elders. Some of the bishops and pastors begin to assume authority not given them in the New Testament. There is not an authority given to these pastors to have dominance or whatever the case, supreme. They begin to claim authority over other and smaller churches. They begin to lord over God's heritage. This was a problem. All right, Brother BJ.
I did not.
Okay, you know what? I'm getting bumped out of here in 1 minute, and I will show you this page, okay? What page? Oh, you're on page 16. At the very bottom. It should be highlighted in yellow, underlined with a red number 1. Because that's what I do to my books, okay? I will find it. All right? Page 17, number 5. What was the second problem that was slipping in? What do we have there? Someone tell the class, what is baptismal regeneration? Make sure we know what that word means.
You have to be baptized to be saved.
Okay, it's your part of your it's necessary for salvation. Baptismal regeneration. Do we have that today in Christianity? I believe so. Okay? So
in paragraph number 5 there. I'm just skipping down there a little bit. The Bible says, has much to say about baptism. Much stress is laid on the ordinance and one's duty concerning it. Surely it must have something to do with one's salvation. By the way, did some people think that circumcision had something to do with salvation? I think we find that in a couple places too. And there's that man's thoughts and God's thoughts different, right? Right, right, right? And then the last one, number 6. The subject of baptism was changed. And then man's good thinking was, you know, if it's that important, as Brother Jared just said, you know what? Let's get them baptized while they're young. Because let's take care of them, you know. And there even was a thing called sponsorship. Yet, I want this little child here to be baptized, and we're going to sponsor this child and make sure that this child is brought up. But that's, you know, the baptism is going to get them to heaven, and we're going to make sure. Ridiculous. Infant baptism. We'll talk about that some. I am out of time, Brother Brother Cooper. Come on up here, please. Thank you for your attention. Let's stand. I think we stand. This is where you stretch and do all that stuff that Brother Cooper leads us in yoga or whatever.
Everybody recite your mantra.
Yeah, the mantra.